Okay. Who's up there? Oh. Anyway, how are you this morning? While I was putting finishing touches on this message, I thought to myself, when I decide to retire from speaking, I'm going to do it right in the middle of a message right here. I'm just going to say, I'm done. Read the rest of it yourself and just go out the back door. So expect this within the next 15 years or maybe less. I want to ask you for some prayer. For a while with the COVID, I had to cancel all my speaking. And things got better, right? So I have some speaking engagements. First one was canceled because a number of the people at the chapel got COVID. They had gone to a memorial, and Don and I, by the way, went to that for one of the leaders. Maybe a third of them got COVID. So that had to be canceled, of course. Now, next week, Sunday, I'm to go to Luxembourg. And one of the elders called this morning and said, am I coming? And we talked, Don talked a bit with him, and I talked to him. Looks like we're going to have to cancel that. Luxembourg is close to Green Bay. And I've mentioned before that my niece, who's been here on some occasion, lives in Green Bay, and she works for the state in this COVID stuff. And she follows things up. And she's been my ear sometime and my guide. And she called recently and said, it's increasing. And a small percentage of people have had vaccine starting to get it. Now, I read that in the Wall Street Journal about a week ago. And I've had shots. We've always come through any testing where we've been. Negative and things are good. So we'll have to probably cancel that, pray about that. I'm just getting back in the saddle again to get out of the stinking house and get out and preach a bit. All right, I hate to say it now because the house is nice. Second of all, on the 8th of this month, not September, not far. I'm to fly to Montana and spend a week with Jeff. Now, when I'm in Montana, I take all the Bible studies. You read about all those. And I take all the Bible studies, but I don't follow what he's doing. Jeff wants me to give exhortation or various other challenges or whatever. So I'm scheduled to take all the Bible studies. Now, I'm going to have to stay in touch with Jeff and people in Montana, whether I should really go. A year ago, June, I was to go to Montana and speak with Jeff at a Bible camp when we speak together. Night the place. I look forward to that. That was canceled. This could be canceled as well. So I'm getting a little bummed. Marking the gin, and then I've got this thing called white out. Smooth. Don't use this stuff. It's messy. I got these white outs all over my camera. That I carry around with. So pray about that. Okay. And it'll be a long time yet before the booster comes. And so I'm not the only full-time worker who travels and speaks, who's kind of bummed about it too. But this is what the Lord ordered. This is of the Lord. This isn't just something that happened and the Lord thought, whoops, what's going on? When you read the Old Testament, you read some of the prophets. One of the studies that was given next week is on the book of Habakkuk. Well, I'm not going to. But the book of Habakkuk is chapter 1. He starts off, what's happened? What's happened? Why doesn't God step in and do something? Read for yourself. It's pretty good. So the thing I prepared this morning, for this morning, not this morning, is something that didn't seem fresh this morning because my mind is filled with all of these, the sciences of God and other things. Where is God in this? And should I live long enough to speak again on Sunday morning? I may give a message on the sciences of God and how God is working and doing things. But this morning, I have something else in my mind. When I became a Christian, about 3 weeks after I was born again, Pastor Anderson came up to me and said, how would you like to hear your testimony Sunday night? And I said, what is that? What do I do? And he said, just talk about the things that happened before you became a believer and some of the things, and just let us know the things that led to you coming to Christ as your Savior. Oh, okay. So the first time I did it, they have a 35-minute meeting on Sunday night. After 4 hours, they had to give me the hook, give me option. The point is, you know, your testimony is really precious. When we were missionaries, we had missionary conferences once a year. And there were times we just sat around in circles. And before you know, we were giving our testimony to one another. I mean, we're all missionaries and we're all involved and we're all doing something. But we started sharing our testimony. And it was really interesting to listen to because here's a psychologist, and he's a missionary. Here's an ex-high school principal, he's a missionary. Here's an ex-engineer. Here's an ex-medical student. Here's a research scientist. And they're all missionaries. But they start talking, not about the profession they had, but about what led to it. It was always interesting. Sometimes we take for granted that most people in the assembly were just kind of raised in it and learned about it. And one day when they were a certain age, they said, I believe, and maybe they prayed with somebody, and they were baptized. But when you start hearing testimonies, start hearing some very interesting things. Some of these people were not saved when they were kids. And some of these people came from rough homes and rough backgrounds. And some of these people had actually for a while lived a kind of rough life. You say, well, missionary, sure. Maybe that, one of the things I discovered that a lot of missionaries were saved later, not earlier. And that makes sense. Get the gospel out to people. Tell them about Jesus Christ. So I've been thinking about that. We heard each other's testimony. I'm not talking about all the details, But I'm talking about thinking about the things of our background that were hindering us to come to Christ. And then how through something or the other, being disgusted with it, or feeling guilty, or just having somebody show a crack in our head. And the step to Christ started. Slowly, they started. Maybe for some quickly, but for a lot of them, it wasn't quick. They had a strong background in religion like I did. Having been an altar boy once, that was kind of funny. And having gone to parochial school for a few years and being really dedicated to church, it was quite traumatic. That's why for a year and a half I ran. Well, I'm getting too much involved in this, but it would be nice our young people at times been your testimony. Maybe they think you all just grew up in this. Maybe you didn't. I'd like this morning to give you a testimony from Scripture. Now, back in 1986, a long time ago, I was giving a series here on 1st and 2nd Timothy. And while I was going through the Scriptures on 1st and 2nd Timothy and Acts, I began to write down Timothy's biography, his testimony. I hadn't given it. I was looking through my notes the other day, and lo and behold, there some sheets. Oh, wow. So I started messing. I'd like to give you some idea, because you know that many of these men in Scripture, we have Paul's testimony, dynamic and powerful, and worth reading. Timothy was a servant. He spent some of the years, a lot of years in Ephesus. But between the book of Acts, chapter 16 and on, 1st and 2nd Timothy, we can piece together an interesting life. You see, when I don't care what road you take to get to Christ, when you get to Christ as your Savior, we all come the same way, right? Right. However it was, we all finally realize that Jesus Christ paid it all, and he is my Savior. And he forgiven me, he loved me. He will not hold something against me, ever. And become my blessed Savior. So when you sit in this room with all these missionaries, all these different backgrounds, it all comes together in one thing. The cross of Jesus Christ. How did you get there? How did people get there? It's something that I think sometimes it's just nice talking to your Christian friends here, or maybe periodically have someone give the testimony. Because I think it shows that the grace of God and mercy of God is willing to meet everybody at any level possible and save them. And whatever. That's one of the things that happened in Columbia, giving the gospel. So what I want to do this morning is I want to give you some of Timothy's testimony. I hope you'll see, and I'm going to give you verses. I hope you'll see that these pioneers, the missionary disciples, these men who carried on in church life, were men who had a background with Jesus Christ, learning about him to the church. Okay? So that's what I like to do. And testimonies are always important. So let me begin. I hope this isn't boring to you. You'll know more to this. But I put it all together, and I put it on my file, and thought, Ducky, you got to work at you. 1986. The ways have been buried all along. So let me give it to you and see if you enjoy this and can see God's marvelous grace in people. We look at the two epistles of Timothy. The second one was just before Paul died. And they're interesting to read. So let me begin. We're talking here, and we go back to Acts, and we go back to Timothy. Timothy's born in a town called Lystra, up in Asia Minor, Galatia. Lystra was close to a town called Iconium, and down the road of peace from Antioch. This is where Paul and Barnabas and Mark intend to go to. You know that Mark didn't finish, but later on he became a great and totally bottomless. So Timothy was born in the town of Lystra, small town. In fact, it didn't have a synagogue. But up the road, and I climbed in that synagogue, a pretty nice Jewish congregation. His mother's name is given by Paul. Her name is Eunice. And then his grandmother's mentioned. Her name is Lois. So Timothy's born in his family of a mother and grandmother. Where's the father? It says that the only thing it says about the father is that he's Greek. The other thing was, Timothy couldn't have fellowship at the synagogue. Mark of the mother. One, the mother married outside the synagogue of faith. Two, she never had Timothy circumcised. You ever wonder why Paul had Timothy circumcised? The reason is simply is he couldn't take Timothy with him when he witnessed to the Jews. It must have been a painful thing for this late teen, early 20 guy. But this is the home. In other words, the mom married outside the faith and was probably, at one time, not a really good girl. Nothing wrong with saying that. She's probably some little girl in town. It was a Greek town. And she spoke fluent Greek, you know. So here's the family. So, now, the father was a Greek, like Paul never says about it. Nothing else, nothing at all. But she married outside the faith, so Timothy was brought up at home. When the mother is not welcome at the synagogue or church, if you want to say that. And Timothy, she never had him circumcised, was not welcomed to play with the Jewish boys. He had Greek friends. Now on this, you can check on yourself. So the mixed marriages were frowned upon. And she wasn't welcome at the synagogue. She was raised in a part of the world where many Jews were brought earlier through dispersion, and many moved and settled in. And she was born in a world that had great conflict between Greek philosophy, Judaism, and many other forms of paganism. Right? So the situation drove the mom back to scriptures. Paul says, 2 Corinthians, he said, you learn the word of God from your mother and your grandmother. So they took this little boy and they began to teach him. I think the mother, Eunice, had a hunger to get back into the word. And the grandma took this initiative and taught the little boy. And from what I can figure out, that one of the things he liked the most is sitting on his grandma's knee, listening to the Old Testament and eating freshly baked peanut butter cookies that only the grandma could make. It was a delight to his heart. Now, the peanut butter stuff, I had to research. And I can't find it, but I know it's true. He's learning the word of God, okay? So grandma lives with him, and grandma's helping in stores. And her stories are exciting. She's probably going back and talking to Abraham, right? She's talking with Jacob and Joseph and David. And she's talking about this thing. And I'm positive she mentioned the Messiah. You just have to fit it in. But he was learning the word of God. His mother was being renewed in the word of God. And grandma, thankful, was there to help. All right, then she forgave her daughter for her indiscretion with this Greek boy. Whoever he was, dead or alive. So There's a temple, although there's no synagogue. 2 Timothy 3, when Paul is writing to Timothy, reminds him of this. Pagan is one. There's a temple to Zeus. If you speak Latin, it's Jupiter. And there's a temple to Hermes, and if you speak Latin, Mercury. These two places that are there for the Greeks. Sometimes he was confused by his mind's religion and the philosophical thoughts of our people. That makes sense. And he was confused by this. But when he started hearing the word of God, that foundation would lead him immediately to pray. But you wouldn't know how. You can't figure out how. But this boy is learning. And he's listening and hears about the hope that Israel had. Paul, in the second letter to Timothy, when Paul's on death row, writes to Timothy and said, "You know, Timothy, that the scriptures are able to make one wise salvation." The reason he said that is because Timothy at this time was so overwhelmed by the responsibility at Ephesus that he got off trying to argue with people. And he was losing the battle. And Paul simply said, "You know the scripture makes you wise stories. Get back to the old story." So there are these places there. And Acts 14:8 talks about Paul's visit to Lystra. And Israel, one day a group of men came to Lystra. Rumors were going around about these men that they had been to Antioch, just up the road a piece from where we live. Okay. And these men had caused a great amount of emotion and turmoil. And we run out of Antioch, and they went on that time and went on the strike. So Timothy said, we've heard about that because there were people who were following them, were Jews, and these people who were following them were creating problems everywhere they went, they had problems. And listen, Timothy's smart boy, he's remembering all this. Cannot preach the gospel without some rejection of problems. Live with it. Learn about it. So anyway, here's what Tim's doing. So they came, says in Acts 13:13, and Luke was really good at recording all this. Timothy knew Luke, met him off and on, great crowd of people. Imagine when they set it on fire, sharing their testimonies. Wow. Okay. So they came and it said that from Antioch they fled to Iconium, Lystra, a group of men were following. Timmy said was really excited. We heard about it. We will watch this. We will see what's happening. And so the town was getting perhaps a little excited. In fact, when the first came to Lystra, there was a man who was crippled from birth. And Paul healed him. Whoa. Now, Paul didn't do miracles every place he went. He didn't use miracles, it's just something throughout. They were selective and they were for a purpose, not to bring in big donations to your ministry. Well, when the people in Lystra saw it, they had some legend in their history about Zeus and Hermes. Somewhere, one of the gods were going to come down. So the priest of these two places went out, got some cattle, came back, and we're going to sacrifice them to Paul. But what's going on? Whoa, what are you doing? Let me explain. And Paul said, no, you're wrong. We're just men like everybody else. Okay. Timothy is drinking also. You know, you're a kid. You're in this excitement. You're not going to stay playing with your phone. You want to get out and see what's going on. Oh, he's in the background. He's watching on the stop ball. But he's drinking it in. All right, drinking. So, anyway, excuse me. Created some excitement. And they preached the gospel. Okay, so now the people became so excited that they had stoned Paul and dragged him off to die. And it said, in Acts 1, that a group of people, when they dragged him off, got around Paul. Now, I ain't adding things, but prove I'm wrong. And they gather around Paul, and Paul gets up and goes back into town. Timmy, what are you guys doing? We're praying that he would not die. And Paul, whatever it was, this group of people gathered around. So I asked someone what they were doing. They said that they were praying for him, asking God not to let him die, but to heal him. Paul was raised up, and somewhere along the way, Timothy talked to Paul. There was a lot of this excitement. Don't know exactly how long he stayed, but he talked to Paul, and according to Scripture, Paul led Timothy to Christ. Two times, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, and 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Paul called him my son in faith. And no reason to believe that me other than the fact that Paul led him to Christ. And Timothy said. And of course, he was saved through what we call the gospel, precious gospel. And one of the first lessons I learned was that suffering for the gospel's sake was often a common occurrence. From beginning to charge, everything went down the trouble. And in Paul's second letter to me, 2 Timothy 1:8, the second letter to me, he reminded me not to forget it. Not to forget it. Now, that remember, that second letter, Paul's on death row and he's close to death. I'm trying to encourage yourself. Don't forget it. So, 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 to 12. That made a great impact on Timothy. And Timothy visited him there and left, went back to Ephesus. When Paul was killed, I don't know. Don't know if Timothy ever went back. Anyway, after they left Lystra, I didn't know where they were going. Things calmed down. But what happened for me is that I started going to Iconium, not far away, where there was a Jewish synagogue and young people. And I started saying, Lystra, I was having the time of my life going back and forth, telling them how I came to Jesus Christ. Who is active? So we wanted young people to be active. Anyway, he was active back and forth in these two places, and he was a blessing to them. However it was, and I suspect he knew in faith, he wasn't teaching them Calvinism, or he wasn't teaching any such thing. Tell me about Jesus Christ and how I'm going to say. All right, so anyway, he visited them, and he started going there, and now, one thing I always remember with Paul zeal, even after Paul was stoned, his zeal. Anyway, they left here I didn't know where they're going. They went farther up in Asia, but here they ended up in, with their own church, home church in Antioch. Right, but whether it would come or not, again, I don't know. Well, after some years, they returned. And they came back to Lystra. Paul had a new group, he had Silas. And Luke was hanging around with friends. Luke's an interesting guy, because he's there and he's not there. But really an interesting man. Now, so, after the 2 years passed, they returned. And I discovered that they had another birth. And that's where he would be involved. They came back and they were entering this local church. What is happening? And they involved themselves. Always interested in growth and the health of a local church. That became a lifelong obsession. Timothy probably ended his life somewhere in the Ephesus area, working among local churches, trying to help them mature. So they came back and they spent some time, number one, talking to these Christians. What they wanted was unity. That's always something. You can find this in these letters by the time. They wanted to use God's word and help them. They were looking for leaders, and he was telling them the most important thing among leadership, godly character. Certainly, he needed to know all the ins and outs of theology, I guess, at times. Godly character is the whole issue. They need good Bible doctrine. And you need to watch out for false people. Timothy's second letter is a lot to do with false people. I call them grace pretenders. Grace pretenders. There's grace or not. The grace pretenders. They come in, they create a problem. And so, and these false teachers, the grace pretenders, they want to destroy the church, and Timothy's going from within. The great pretenders are dangerous. All right. So, while I was there, Paul was helping us find elders and how to do this and be stronger. The man that he was dealing with said, you ought to take this kid Tim with you. This kid is really good fun. He is sharing the gospel, and you've got young guy Silas, and you've had Mark. This kid, pick up. And so they did. I was in Columbia. One of the early chapels in Bogota had a fight that was breaking apart, which, by the way, is not really rare, unfortunately. Some of the people wanted to stay, but there were no teachers. No, nobody enthusiastic. Two teenage boys of 15 years old, Humberto Vainegas, who right now is in charge of all of the Spanish, the mayor's work, and all the children. And Jorge Marcos, two 15-year-old kids sat down and said, look, we got to keep them here. So, okay, I'll preach one Sunday, you preach one Sunday. I'll preach one Sunday, you preach one Sunday. And these guys were doing that. Ultimately, a few people came back. That was some problems. 15-year-olds. They were involved with this. These two guys, and Beto Vanegas and Jorge Vargas, now we kept it together. Should two 15-year-olds do that without any commendation or something? Sure. Go ahead and do it. Feel free. Because these boys were, they weren't leadership, weren't they? These two kids who taught. And I came one Sunday. I didn't know this. I came up one weekend to do paperwork. When you're in, you always got to do paperwork. That matters. So I drove up and I had to do paperwork on Monday. So I walked in the assembly and Jorge Bobby was speaking. He looked up at me. I don't know what he wanted to say. Then Bobby, why don't you come up and speak? See? Anyway, and when it was over, you didn't tell me you're coming. Well, seeing this, I'm never going to tell you I'm coming. And nor would Dick. Would you pop in? 15-year-old kid. Now you have, I didn't plan to do this. You have a kid in early 20 who is putting together an assembly that hadn't been existed for a number of years. Blank. Wow. I don't know what this kid's ready. And there's mom. And there's mom. Can young people do that? Absolutely. So I got sidetracked. Anyway, but this is what happened. So anyway, Timothy joined the team. And up there went, now, there's a lot you can read in Acts. But the blister of the kind, and it went up, and it started going to Asia. But and while we're going up, Paul wanted to go north to Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit, don't go. But you know, the Holy Spirit didn't say, I'll tell you where to go. You ever think how hard that would be? Don't go. Well, what am I supposed to do? Don't go. So Paul just kind of followed the map. He just continued up the road to Troas. Troas is good McDonald's and stuff, and we need a good feed. The rough crowd. They get up there and get the master going to call. Well, I bring this up because Macedonia is where Timothy would begin to grow and have responsibility and also become a close companion of the Apostle Paul. They went up there and they got the master's call. They went to Thessalonica. And they went over to Berea. And during that time, each place, the preacher got the people saved and they were troubled. And they had to get them out of Philippi. Going to Thessalonica. People in Thessalonica, and that people leave. But there are people who didn't believe their enemies. We took them out at night. We got to get you out of here. We got to get you out. So we took them out at night to Berea. Got to Berea, you know what the scripture said. The Bereans just loved the word. They read it and paid attention. But they had to flee Berea also. They had to get out. So they take Paul and Paul, and he goes down to Athens. Timothy tried to stay up. Paul said, stay for a while. Oh. So they stay up. Paul goes to Athens. And while his Athens experience was difficult, one thing Paul didn't worry about is persecution and death. I think maybe nobody would know who Paul is. And I believe that Paul went to Athens and got himself a wee little bed of motel room and just been beat up and stoned again. And he's hurting. But knowing Paul, he gets out in his public square and everybody's talking. And everybody's talking about things about religion. And he starts out. Anyway, Paul goes on to Corinth, Timothy and Silas come down. Without going into detail, these young men are learning to stand on their own 2 feet. Come down. After that, he sends them back. But when they came down, they brought an offering from Philippi and stuff from them. Here. And maybe that night when they brought the offering, they all had a good feast for the first time in my 2 months. And a good rest. So, later on, Paul's third missionary journey. Before that journey, something happened to Timothy that was really important. Paul, I should have walked away with this. Paul and the elders laid hands on Timothy. Some scripts say they don't ordain him to the ministry. These men were saying, we're going to stand behind Timothy. This man read it. Paul obviously called him ministry. And so Timothy went out with a little bit more confidence that people were strong and behind him, not for Paul. And that didn't take place until the third missionary trip. Now he's interested in Timothy. So out he goes. And so the church leader approved him. So after that, you can follow an act in the epistle. He started to accompany Paul during his third missionary trip. And you can find stuff in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 19, bringing Timothy's name. And there, Timothy started appearing all over the place. And he was with Paul during Corinthians often. And then there was another man, Aresta. They stayed in Asia. Paul went over. They stayed in Asia. Paul back. He's taken to the crypt. Okay. So I'll end this now by simply saying that when Paul was under house arrest, he wrote in the very last letter, become familiar with these two letters. They're the last letter of a dying man. And a dying man doesn't waste words. Oh, how's the Brewers going to go? I think that. Sorry, the Packer. Dying man doesn't waste words. Because on his mind, he has one thing. People have to carry on and get the work done. We have to grow and we have to be strong. We have to win souls, and we've got to have local churches that are not messed up in false doctrine and petty arguments. We've got to have strength. So, anyway, what happened? Timothy had been Philippi. He had been to Thessalonica. He had been to Berea, of course. He had met Paul in Athens along with Silas for a little while, but Paul sent him right back. He joined Paul in Corinth, and Paul started sending him around. So I wrote this down at the end. I served at Paul's request in Thessalonica, Corinth, Philippi, Berea, Ephesus, and I was a close companion when he was getting ready to die. And in his last letter, he said to Timothy, come quick, come. And bring the books in the parchment. Now, the books were stuck to me, and the parchment most likely was stuck to write on. I run my race, I finish my course. Henceforth, there's letter for me to crown. But Paul wanted to read, and wanted to write. Maybe one last letter is mine. Timothy brought. After that, we really don't know much. So, Timothy says, I spent a lot of time in Ephesus and helped out there, and I'm probably going to be here a long time. Read the Epistle to Ephesians from Paul. Lewis. Timothy would be familiar with some of this stuff. Now, Timothy would have been discouraged at times because the Bible says what? He had oft infirmities. Often sick, you might say, oh, man, you better stay home and minister in America. He had often infirmities. And second of all, drink a little wine for his stomach's sake. Now, I had read somewhere, I think, that he recommended Duckhorn wine, but I can't be sure. I can't quite be sure. But for your stomach, anyways, first of all, you're a shy guy, timid. And Paul Reed said, he urges Timothy to be strong and read the word. But Timothy was often sick. Now, this kid has been dragging around with Paul since Lystra. Oh, man. The Lord's been good with this kid. That's a special one. And so he'd been discouraged by his awkward infirmity. He got himself, 2 Timothy, he got himself mixed up with guys who went up. I knew about false things, and Timothy got mixed up in that, and he was in over his head. And Paul said, no, the scriptures is alive to salvation. So I'll leave that now. I have more dramatic stuff. I have more, but this is really important. A young, timid, often sick kid, willing to follow Paul around the Roman world. And don't forget, on the Roman road, there were no fast food places, I'm sure. And so this is part of the testimony. And the last thing Paul says to him in both letters, you've got to take this in both letters. He'll say, what? Stir up your gift. Timothy was discouraged. Stir it up. Be a soldier. Stand for hardship. Watch your own life. Keep your own life spiritually sharp. Be gentle, be impartial, flee from youthful sin, denouncing, follow after righteousness, and 2 Timothy 4:5, bring others to Jesus Christ. That bit of a testimony of him will put together, but I found it really enjoyable. So, here's a man we know all about. And rough back in his home life wasn't the greatest. He didn't have a father who taught him the scriptures, a father who paid. Can you trust people like that? No, you can't. The Holy Spirit changes people and leads them on. So that's Timothy's testimony. Father, thank you for your word. When we specifically follow Timothy in the New Testament, we are in awe of Timothy's ministry, of his travels, of his abilities. And we see in Timothy tendencies for discouragement, tendencies for shyness, and we see some kind of infirmity that probably plagued him. We thank you for him, that we learn to trust you and that the Holy Spirit strengthens. God, raise up people and help them to look to Jesus Christ and depend on the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gospel we've heard. We pray this in Jesus' name.